Hallelujah.
Well, let's open our Bibles to the book of Titus, New Testament, Paul's letter to Titus. Titus was one of Paul's boys, I guess I would say. One of his boys, one of his preacher boys. And Titus was a pastor of the church at Crete. And I asked the Lord what he would have me to share this morning. He said, Titus chapter 3. So I went there, began to read, and I settled on a verse, which I'll take you to in just a moment. Titus chapter 3, reading thusly. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. Paul instructing his pastor about what he should be teaching his people. To speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that the goodness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope or the confident expectation of eternal life. Now, there's much in there that we could talk about this morning, but the part that caught my attention as I read this was the sixth verse, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. And as I thought about that, the Spirit of the Lord was just renewing in me the fact that the Lord has not just provided his blessings upon us sufficient to get us by, but he has showered his blessings upon us in all phases of our life in great abundance. Abundance means more than enough. Abundance means literally, that's good, more than enough. More than enough. I think myself in certain areas have adjusted to the fact that if I have enough, I'm satisfied. But the Lord wants us to have more than enough. Why? Why does he want us to have an abundance? I mean, what's the purpose in his granting an abundance to us? I think there are several. One is that we will recognize it's his hand. Secondly, I think it is designed to produce an attitude of praise and thanksgiving in us. Deeper, stronger, richer, and fuller than anything we would have otherwise. And thirdly, I think there is an abundance is designed to provide so that we will have not only enough for ourselves, but enough to share with others. I'm not talking just about material things here. I'm talking about all sorts of things, some of which we're going to talk about this morning. Notice that when Paul uses this reference here, shedding on us an abundance through Jesus Christ our Savior, the first thing he's referring to is the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. In other words, the abundance that Paul's referring to here is the abundant salvation. I think a lot of Christians have adapted to this mistaken idea that when we receive Jesus as our Savior, we get our sins sufficiently forgiven, we get a ticket punched to heaven, and then we just hang on until we get there. In other words, we have a salvation that's enough to get us free from hell and get us a ticket to heaven. But there's so much more to it than that. This salvation is an abundant salvation. It's a full and a rich salvation. Unfortunately, many, many, many Christians, I suspect most Christians, only tap into the very barest and meagerest of necessities, and that is to get sins forgiven and to get free from a sentence to hell and to be granted a trip to heaven. And Christianity, for so many Christians, that's about all there is to it, to be saved. Now, not demeaning or diminishing what that is, what that means, to not have to fear hell anymore and to anticipate heaven and to know that your sins are forgiven and that Jesus, by His Spirit, has come to live on the inside of us. But Paul is saying here that when Jesus came, through Jesus Christ our Savior, God has given us a renewing of the Holy Ghost abundantly. Abundantly. More than just enough to get us through. Now, if you'll follow with me this morning, I'm going to look at half a dozen scriptures, perhaps. Take me down just a little wee bit more, Don. And which describes some of the aspects of this abundance. First of all, let's go to 2 Peter chapter 1 and look here at two verses, the 10th and the 11th. What I did was I just did a word search on the word abundant or abundance or abundantly. And we're not going to look at all of the references, but there are half a dozen or so here that I think bear a further look. Peter writes, "Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure." Everybody ought to know for sure that they've been born again. Every Christian, every churchgoer, every person who has a mindset towards God, a desire and a heart towards God, ought to be sure and have a confidence in their relationship with Him. "For if you do these things, ye shall never fail or fall. For so an entrance," watch this now, "for an entrance shall be ministered unto you," what? "Abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." We're told that the way of the gospel is a narrow way when it is that we are looking to find the way. Jesus said that if you find the wide way, the broad way, that is the way that most everybody's going, it will lead you to destruction. Because the way to life, the way to eternal life, is a narrow way, and not very many people find it. But if you read further, and what we're reading here is, Peter says that the entrance, once you find that narrow way, and there's a name given to that narrow way, where you enter into the presence and eternal life with God. The name of that narrow way is a five-letter word. It's Jesus. The name of the narrow way is Jesus. But once you find Him, and once you receive Him into your life, you find that the entrance is abundantly broad. "For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." And so from what it appears to me, as I look at these two seemingly contradictory principles, it seems to me that from the outside of the kingdom, it appears to be a very narrow doorway. But once you have decided to step through that doorway, it appears that that doorway is exceeding broad and that there's an abundant entrance. There's also the connotation here with this idea of abundance, that it is wide enough to get anybody through it. Amen? From this pulpit, or a pulpit on this platform, I'm not sure this very one of our young men was preaching one day, and he said that the way to the kingdom of heaven was narrow, but it was broad enough to receive anyone who wanted to come in. I don't know if you remember that statement that day. That was Thompson. Goodness, Dana. Thank you. I want to say Derek. Dana Thompson. The entrance into the kingdom of God and into His everlasting kingdom is abundant. Now turn with me back a few pages to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. chapter 9, I'm sorry, verse 8. This particular passage, the 8th and 9th chapters of 2 Corinthians, have reference to stewardship. And there is a lengthy discussion here of the importance of our giving and responding to the love of God by the giving of our financial resources. And he is complimenting the Philippians and encouraging the Corinthians in this passage. And as a result of our giving, verse 8, he says, "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound unto every good work." Now, this is a very broad statement where he said, God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you will have all sufficiency in all things. In other words, God intends for us to have an abundance of his grace, which will in turn produce in us an abundance of all things. So I would say we have an abundant salvation, we have an abundant entrance into the kingdom of God, and now we find that we have an abundant grace. We have a grace that is large enough to take care of whatever need we may have, whether it be spiritual or financial or emotional or in any other sense. Fourthly, we have abundant joy. Psalm chapter 36. I don't know if this is my favorite abundance, but it certainly is one of them. An abundant joy. Verse 36. One of the things that I've encountered in my life since I've come to know the Lord Jesus in 1975 is a joy that I never thought possible. A deep, abiding joy on the inside. Verse 5 begins, and we'll wind up in 8. "Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds. Thy righteousness is like great mountains. Thy judgments are a great deep, O Lord. Thou preservest man and beast. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures." Abundant provision, abundant joy. "They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures." Great, great joy. And then, one of my favorite scriptures is in Ephesians chapter 3. You hear me quote it from time to time. And it's in the 20th verse, and it describes another abundance that God has made available to us. The 20th verse. Any one of these, we might take the entire morning to the entire service this morning to concentrate on, but that's not my objective today, to zero on any one individual thing. What I'm trying to do today is to create or to reinforce the idea that God is an abundant God. Kenneth Hagin preached a message years ago that he titled El Shaddai. It's one of his most famous sermons. And in that sermon, he took the Hebrew title of God, one of his titles, El Shaddai, and did a word, what is known as an exegesis, of that word. And the inference is drawn from it. El Shaddai, the word El in the Hebrew is God. Shaddai literally means the breasty one. The breasty one. And the idea behind that is, let me see how I can put this. A woman's breast. Not in a sexual way, but in a motherly way. What is the first thing that a newborn baby wants? His or her mother's breast. And that mother's breast is sufficient, actually abundantly sufficient, to provide everything that that baby needs for a considerable period of time. And when God refers to himself as the El Shaddai, he said that when he said to Abraham, "Walk before me, and I am the God Almighty. I am El Shaddai." The idea here is, I am the God, the breasty one. I am the all-sufficient one. I have everything you need, and I have it in great abundance. Now, since I heard that message, I cannot think of the term El Shaddai without thinking of this term, of this idea of great abundance, of great supply, of everything that we need is already available to us from God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Here in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20, he talks about a power that is made available to us, an ability. The word power here is the word dunamis. It is the ability to get things done. It is the ability to get things changed. It is the ability to do things that we could not do on our own power. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. There is a power residing and living and breathing and working inside us that is able to do not just abundantly, but exceeding abundantly. And it can do so much more than anything we can ask or even think about. When I think about this verse for me personally, this is what it says to me. That there is a power living inside me, the person of God himself, that is able to do more than I can dream. That God's power is more than my dream power, more than my strongest desire. And so I've reached out for some really incredible things in my life from him, and he is supplying. Hallelujah. Speaking of supply, let's turn to Philippians chapter 4. This perhaps, for some of us at least, touches our everyday life maybe more closely than any of these others, although I'm not sure that it should, but it may have that effect. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I call that abundance. It's abundance because it is according to his riches, not according to our ability. He will supply. And so the next abundance is an abundance of supply that he will provide in a way that is more than just enough. It is enough to have. It's enough to give. It's enough to glorify him with. Psalm 132 and verse 13, if you're flipping with me, turn there as I do. Psalm 132 and verse 13. For the Lord hath chosen Zion. He hath desired it for his habitation. Now in New Testament terms, this refers to us. He's chosen us. And he's desired to have us for a dwelling place for himself. This is my rest forever. Here will I dwell, for I have desired it. And then he goes on to say, I will abundantly bless her provision. I will satisfy her poor with bread. Now when I read that passage, this is what it says to me. If I move into a home, I want that home to have the best of things. If I'm going to put a furnace in that home, I'm going to put in the best furnace I can buy. If I want to put carpet in that house, I'm going to put in the best carpet I can buy. I'm not going to chintz on the things I put in that home. Whatever I can afford, the best I can afford, I'm going to supply for that home. Why? Because that's where I'm going to live. Now, where does God live? Where does he live? He lives in here. Should we not expect that he would want to fix this up as nicely as we would fix up our home? Should we not expect that he would deny us nothing? Should we not expect that it would be his desire to provide an abundance the same as we would for the place where we dwell? I will abundantly bless her provision. So let's believe God for his abundance. And then he promises us an abundant, fruitful life. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 30. I don't know if this is doing you any good or not, but it's sure doing me a world of good. Deuteronomy chapter 30 And verse 8. There it is, verse 8 and 9. And thou shalt return and obey the voice of the Lord, and do all his commandments which I command thee this day. And the Lord thy God will make thee, this is another word that is interesting to look up, do a word study on, the word plenteous. The word plenteous. Not just enough to get by on, not just enough to keep you from starving, for example, in a physical sense, but an abundance, a plenteousness. God will make thee plenteous in every work of thy hand, in the fruit of thy body, in the fruit of thy cattle, in the fruit of thy land, for good. For the Lord will again rejoice over thee for good, as he rejoiced over thy fathers. An abundance of fruit is what he desires for us. And then Jesus summed it all up, quote, in John chapter 10, when he said in verse 10, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill and destroy. But I am come that they might have what? Life, and that they might have it how? More abundantly. Not just get by on, not just get along on, but an abundant life. And so he has given us what? An abundant salvation. He's given us an abundant entrance into his kingdom. He's given us an abundant grace. He's given us abundant joys. He's given us abundant power. He's given us an abundant supply and provision. He's given us an abundance in fruit from our lives. And he's given us life itself in great abundance. Now, when I read this last verse, the one that I just read to you from the lips of Jesus, I come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. The life there that he's referring to is the Zoe life, that is the God kind of life that's in us. And what that says to me is everything else we've talked about is all wrapped up in what Jesus said. I've come to give you life, and I've come to give it more, to give it to you more abundantly. That means that I've come to give you an abundant joy. I've come to give you an abundant peace. I've come to give you a love in great abundance. I've come to give you a grace and an enabling and a power that is in great abundance. I've come to give you a sense of confidence in abundance and boldness. I've come to give you a mental peace in abundance. I've come to give you physical blessing in abundance. I've come to give you eternal life in abundance, more than you can even imagine exists. I'm going to give to you. I have already granted it to you in my Son Jesus. And then one of my favorite verses, and I'll wrap up with this today, is in Psalms again, and it's in the 16th verse. 16th chapter, I'm sorry. It's the 11th verse, the last verse of the 16th Psalm. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Hallelujah is right. Hallelujah. One of my favorite Old Testament verses. In thy presence is the fullness of joy. We sing the song, he's all I need. Jesus is all I need. But it's more than that even. It's what he's trying to get across to us this morning, I believe, is that he has provided to us an exceeding abundance in all of these areas. And it is not necessary for us to settle for just enough. Can you say amen? Let's all stand, please. Whoa. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that during the service this morning, I pray that all of us in this room today are sensing your sweet touch the same as some of us have today. And that no one would leave here this morning without knowing not just that they were at church, but that they were in the presence of the living God. No one would leave here this morning without having a sense of the love of God visited upon them. in whichever form, Lord, you know that we can understand and receive. We want to offer a prayer also this morning, Father, for those that are traveling, those that are vacationing, taking rest and recreation over the weekend. We want to offer thanksgiving on behalf of the Koval family, that all of Mark's family and all of Jeanette's family have come through this terrible storm well. We pray, Father, that through these disastrous events, that many people will finally make a decision to turn to you and be saved. And that lives will not only be saved, but lives will be changed. And that many new children of God will come into the kingdom. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen.